I'm Andy Dorado, and this is Furthermore. Today I've got a very special Christmas episode for you, so sit back, relax, and enjoy a new Furthermore head-to-head where we take a look at A Christmas Carol and our favorite, The Muppet Christmas Carol. This is another special holiday episode for Furthermore, so I'm not going to do a big intro and outro, but I do want to wish everyone the most happy holiday season from us here at Furthermore. Thank you for listening all year. We've got so much more coming up from you in the next year, so stay tuned, and hey, keep reading.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Whoa! Welcome to Furthermore, everyone.
I hope it makes sense.
All right, welcome to Furthermore for real, everybody. This is a wonderful Christmas episode. I am surrounded by friends and family as well, and a figgy pudding. And I am here with episode number 3. Is that what it was? Guest Scott? I don't remember what.
I think episode 3, yeah.
With Scott, and with episode 9, guest Risa Ress.
That's me.
And a newbie to the podcast, Hunter. Hunter, what is your last name?
Dowell.
Yay, we've got it all.
Are
Dowell.
Are you going to make him spell it?
No, I think people can figure out how to spell Dowell.
And Dowell and Dorado and Ress.
We're here to record a very special little Christmas episode. Risa has quite literally made a figgy pudding, and what could be wrong in the world?
I didn't know what a figgy pudding was until this moment.
I mean, we basically made a gingerbread cake, really.
That's all I could ever want.
It looks delicious.
I think a real figgy pudding is supposed to have, like, poached figs with it.
Who cares? Didn't say that you needed it.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like a...
I thought it was supposed to jiggle. No. So I'm actually very surprised that it doesn't jiggle.
I'm sure if you moved the plate around, it would jiggle.
But, like, I was expecting Jell-O.
I'm gonna get plates and a knife and the caramel that I made.
And we're going to make an ASMR eating.
We're going to make an ASMR eating podcast.
You're welcome, everyone.
Yay. So we are here today to take a look at A Christmas Carol and A Christmas Carol and A Muppet Christmas Carol is what we are going to do today. I just want this to be really relaxed, really just fun and special. So let's start it off with the traditional Furthermore questions. And I'm going to throw this one out there. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite Christmas movie is Christmas with the Cranks.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know.
I've never watched that, but I saw it in theater.
I
watched somebody talk about it, and it just seems mean.
Mean?
Yes. The whole town was, like, mad at them that they want to not celebrate Christmas, right?
I don't know what it is about that movie, but it makes me very happy. Growing up, we always watched Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah. That one is one that I think a lot of, like, my cousin really likes that one, and Christmas Vacation's fine. I always liked regular vacation more than Christmas Vacation.
Ooh, so. I like Vegas Vacation.
Vegas Vacation was
Would you
fun
like the first
too.
Piece
when she
of
sings
Vicky
with
pudding?
Wayne Newton. I'm going way off topic. Thank you.
Risa, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I think it's White Christmas.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy Muppet Christmas Carol.
I had never watched White Christmas until Risa and I were married by the time I started watching it, but now I love White Christmas.
I think we were just dating.
White Christmas is fantastic.
Anybody want more whipped cream?
I might.
Hunter whipped it.
Absolutely.
We need some forks.
I will get those.
Okay. I thought just eating it with your fingers.
it's not jiggling, so we can eat it with our fingers.
But whipped cream is important.
Oh, good. Right.
Hunter liked it.
Good review.
I'm waiting for the caramel.
It's like banana nut bread.
Ooh.
Which is like one of my favorite things ever.
Did you say your favorite Christmas movie?
I didn't. I'm thank you for saving me because I till later I have to watch debate in my head. I think it's the Jim Carrey How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see the new one with Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch? It was an animated one.
What? No.
Yes.
I didn't watch it either.
But
it was the first DVD we owned.
Ooh.
Was that movie? Remember, we got a DVD player that Christmas with that movie, and I watched it over and over and over.
Interesting.
Love that movie.
You know, I don't know what my favorite Christmas movie is. I am quite fond of White Christmas, but spoiler alert. My favorite Christmas movie might be A Muppet Christmas Carol. So
bias.
Yeah. But this is, I mean, part of the reason why I wanted to take a look at this today. So, all right. Next question is, what is your favorite Christmas song?
Mine's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yeah.
I love that. I love every version of it. Anybody that's ever sang it, I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Do you have a favorite version, though?
Do I have a favorite version? I don't know that I do, okay. Honestly. It's a great song.
I really love the Christmas song, Christmas Wrapping, which is fitting because the song starts by going, Bah Humbug.
Ooh, there you go.
So, there you go.
Christmas Wrapping.
I do like that one. I haven't thought about that one in a long time.
We've cooked this caramel to the candy stage, and it's instantly hardened.
It got hardened, and I was like, this is amazing.
But it's so good, because it's like crunchy with the cake.
I wish you all could be here to eat this.
Do you have a favorite Christmas song, Rachel?
It's always Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Mm. But I do, shamefully. No, that's not true.
That's not shameful. Liar. Say it.
No. Because it's not true. I like... Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
Hmm. Yeah.
By Darlene Love.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wait. Santa, I'm sad. That one?
No, it's Christmas, the lights on the tree.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas.
What was that Christmas song I was trying to sing the other day that was like, greeting cards have all been sent.
Yeah.
I was like, Alexa, what is this song? And I was trying to sing it to her.
And Alexa was like,
I don't know anything about that.
I think I like either... Carol of the Bells or Jingle Bell Rock as two sort of opposing things, but I also really love...
I know I'm a music therapist, not supposed to judge your music taste, but really?
You don't like Jingle Bell Rock?
No.
Giddy Up, Jingle Horse,
Pick Up the Beat. I don't like it.
I really like Last Christmas.
Too. Last Christmas is good, but yeah. I am quite partial to the Jimmy Eat World version of Last Christmas. I quite like that song.
I believe I can speak for both of us when I say we are quite partial to the Glee version of Last Christmas. Because as much as that show is bothersome to me, they did a really good job.
And my father loves being Rachel Berry singing that song.
Oh, interesting.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Ah, good. Well, all right. I want to get into this right away because... I want to, but let's end this off with just asking, have any of you ever read any other Charles Dickens, and or have you read Charles Dickens before?
Great Expectations.
Great Expectations.
Yeah. Did you have to read that in high school?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to read A Tale of Two Cities, and I can't remember. I feel like I was in middle school, and I read part one, and then I spark notes the rest.
Well, you didn't read anything you were supposed
to. I sure did not. And now I love to read, so like I'm really, my school years are very confusing to me because I didn't read anything I was supposed to.
Is it Tale of Two Cities? It was the best of times, was the worst of times. Correct. Yeah. I remember so much Charles Dickens from the TV show Wishbone.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I remember a lot of Charles Dickens. But...
Yeah, and oh my gosh, what's the character, the older lady
Haversham,
character?
Like, right?
Mm-hmm, maybe.
She's in their wedding dress?
Yeah, she burned.
Yeah.
God, she's like,
That's what I remember from Wishbone.
She's in The Air Affair, and she's a big character in The Air Affair by Jasper Ford. And I was like, I don't understand this because I didn't. It's like a huge joke. It's a whole joke.
She's the best part of that novel. Yeah. I think that's the only reason why I stuck it through.
I didn't have to read that book, so I just never did.
No. I think you should.
That wasn't assigned.
Because I don't like him, really, and I really enjoyed that book.
I read Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve every year. It's just sort of a tradition I started a few years back, and I just quite love that. But I don't know if I've ever actually read any other. Yes, another piece of figgy pudding, I think, before going on. Well, so as Risa gets that served up, I'm going to get started. So like other Furthermore head-to-heads, we are going to read the first 50 pages and take a look at the first half hour of A Muppet Christmas Carol. So let's get into the first 50 pages of the book.
Do you guys want more caramel?
Caramel? Absolutely.
Yes, please.
That's an interesting question to pose to the podcast. You call it caramel or caramel?
I was thinking that too, yeah.
I interchange them too.
Only say caramel when I'm reading. Like in my head. Huh.
I think I interchange. I do the same thing with like pecan. Like I don't like.
I think of it either Caribbean or Caribbean.
Oh,
I would not say
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right, I would not say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right,
but I would not say that I went on a Caribbean.
Unless you were referencing the ride, maybe.
Well, isn't it Pirates of the Caribbean even the ride, or is it Pirates of the Caribbean?
That was my dad's favorite ride at Disney because it didn't involve any hills or slopes or anything.
That is sad.
Gentle ride. My
dad. Do you like Small World?
Like roller coasters?
Oh, my dad hates roller coasters.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But not real. Not in real life.
I've made the decision recently that I never want to go on another roller coaster again.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, Christmas Carol.
Here we are.
So the book starts. And I mean, what an opening for a book. Was this opening sentence the sentence that anybody expected for A Christmas Carol? Well, let me read the opening sentence and then pose that question again. Stave one, Marley's ghost. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. Is that how you expected A Christmas Carol to begin?
No. I mean, I feel like that's the obvious answer. Yeah. No. But I, the rest, it reads on to be dark and depressing.
Yeah.
I think it's, because I hadn't read it before this, but I did a production of A Christmas Carol. I did a tour 3 years ago that I like to forget happened for various reasons. But like that's how that one started. So like I sort of like knew, but it's just funny. You don't think that's not the forefront of our minds when you think of A Christmas Carol. Yeah. So
at the same time, though, I like it goes further on. He's like, well, I'm not going to give you the history of this simile. I think he says simile.
Right.
And we were discussing on our way over here how, I don't know if it's because the way we read things on the internet now, but how sort of tongue-in-cheek it sort of is.
There's very much a first-person narrator in this, too, which like, I think is funny.
What's his deal? Yeah,
and I'm going to go on a little bit. So, mind, I don't mean to say that I know of my own knowledge what there is particularly dead about a doornail. I might have been inclined myself to regard a coffin nail as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the trade, but the wisdom of our ancestors is in the simile, and my unhallowed hands shall not disturb it, or the country's done for. You will therefore permit me to repeat emphatically that Marley was as dead as a doornail. And yeah, there is a little bit of that kind of humor and like tongue-in-cheekness. Now, Dickens was famous for publishing these pieces like in sort of bits and episodes, bobs, right? And they'd come out in magazines. He really was one of the like first literary celebrities and giants. I mean, he predates Mark Twain and here in the States. And so this, when it came out, I think that, you know, he was sort of used to kind of almost writing a part magazine article, part story that sort of, you know, dear reader, it is as dead as a doornail.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and this one, I'm not sure that A Christmas Carol did do that. I think that it was sort of a commercial failure to start with, but definitely took off. My version of a Christmas Carol mentions that its first printing of 6,000 copies sold out in one day, which is great. If I ever publish a book where 6,000 copies sell in one day, I will be a very happy man. So.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he write this with the intention of like, making Christmas was normally a cheerful holiday into a ghost story. Like, that was the challenge for himself, right?
Yep, he did. He wanted to sort of bring some tale of the macabre to Christmas.
Wasn't that also sort of in vogue at the time, though? Like, Turn of the Screw.
Make everything very gothic and very...
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Turn of the Screw.
I just recently read that.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I don't think... I've never read it, but I've seen the opera many times. Wait, were you in it?
I worked on it.
You did. Because I was flipping stage manager.
That's right.
Oh, dear.
That's when we first met.
Yeah. Flippin'. Oh, was it before that?
Flipping stage manager.
First semester of my freshman year.
Was it? Oh, okay.
We go on a little bit more with this. We go on a little bit more with this sort of tongue-in-cheekness. I always loved this quote. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I'm going to relate. If we were not perfectly convinced that Hamlet's father died before the play began, there would be nothing more remarkable in his taking a stroll at night in an easterly wind upon his own ramparts than there would be in any other middle-aged gentleman rashly turning out after dark in a breezy spot, say St. Paul's Churchyard, for instance, literally to astonish his son's weak mind. It just makes like a Hamlet joke there, which is also very funny.
He's so sassy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's said in a way like, I just gotta say this to get it out there so I can actually start the story.
So
gossipy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So finally, we get a little bit of a description of Scrooge and how, you know, he's tight-fisted and nobody really cares for him and he doesn't really care about anyone else. And finally, we get to the counting house that Scrooge runs. And the very first bit of scene that we get actually is Fred entering, who is Scrooge's nephew. Fred is the part that Scott and I have both played in versions of A Christmas Carol. I also was in a version in high school where I played a narrator part that they wrote for me and my brother and another guy because we didn't want to sing in the musical part of things. So they were like, you can be narrators. Oh, and then someone wrote some narration for it. So you can do that with a Christmas Carol.
Did you actually tell them you didn't want to sing?
Yeah, I was in 10th grade and I didn't want to sing.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for that reason.
I can't think of anything more Andy Dorado. Right, you were just like, I will be in this, but I will be stubborn about this.
But I will not.
I will not.
Furthermore, episodes with you turn into make fun of Andy's flaws.
What's wrong with
no.
that?
No. But then you didn't. You do. Then you sang in a musical after that. So
yeah, that summer between was when I did Little Shop of Horrors and finally decided there we go, I can do that. One thing that strikes me about Dickens' writing actually is just like how active and how much description is in it. He's talking about Christmas Eve. It was a cold, bleak, biting weather. People outside are beating their hands, stamping their feet. It's just candles flaring in the windows. There's all kinds of really like lush descriptive language. So we get to Fred coming in and, you know, Fred and Scrooge go back and forth on their, you know, their usual, let me keep Christmas in my own way. And you know, you keep it in yours, Uncle. One thing that I thought was really interesting through all of this is Bob is never referred to as Bob in these early bits. He's just the clerk, which is really funny to me. He's such a famous character that you'd think.
That actually struck me while we were watching the movie that I was like, I don't remember them actually ever being that upfront about him in the beginning.
Yep.
Do you think if it was episodic that he didn't have a name for him yet?
No, I think that he wanted to wait and have it. I think he wants this part to be more about Scrooge.
That's true.
And not, you know, sort of get it bogged down.
It's
so
just not important. It's not important.
He's just the clerk for a little while. And then the scene where you really need to feel for him, he's going to be Bob Cratchit in that scene, which is, of course, later on. So, finally, Bob, you know, rather, the clerk. You know, there's this sequence of events that always happens in Christmas Carol things, right? Fred comes. Scrooge says, no, I don't want to come have dinner with you. Fred leaves. The two gentlemen enter. They say, you know, will you give us charity for the poor? Scrooge says no. And if the poor are so ready to die, why don't they just do it already and die? He yells at the little caroler that's outside. And then finally, Cratchit works up the courage to say, can we have tomorrow off? And he says, you know, poor excuse to pick a man's pocket every year. But fine, you know, take the day off. So we go to there.
I just want to point out that this is a lovely redeeming quality about Andy is that he loves Christmas Carol so much. So he was not reading that. He knows that that's what Fred's line is. And so that's what he's doing.
I mean,
you love Christmas Carol.
I really do love A Christmas Carol.
I am waiting for the production of Christmas Carol where Scrooge actually has red eyes and blue lips.
Yep. Very vivid descriptions of him.
Eyes and blue lips. Yeah.
That's what he says.
In the book, he describes him as very, very cold, like temperature.
The villain from the Care Bears.
Kind of.
Oh no, your computer turned off.
Oh, I think. Wait, what?
Oh no, it's still there. I got scared.
It's a Christmas miracle. We didn't even talk about how we, before recording this, ate Chinese food and Japanese food.
Oh yeah.
So we celebrated Christmas in a very Jewish way before doing this.
It was delicious, but I think this figgy pudding literally takes the cake.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
It is good.
It's so good.
I'm glad if anybody wants more, there's plenty left.
Not you, listeners. You can't have any.
I will probably when we're done recording this, I will
have one more.
But I need like to let it
sit. I can send you home with some too.
That's okay, even
it's
better.
Not super heavy. It was very nice.
Just eat it all in one bite.
So Scrooge takes his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, and finally he heads back to his lodging that he used to share with his old friend Marley. And here we get some of the cheekiness again, right? Now, it is a fact that there was nothing at all particular about the knocker on the door, except that it was very large.
I was going to say they shared lodging. So were they roomies?
They didn't live in the same room. I think they owned this building and they, you know, they
had
shared.
Apartments?
Yeah.
He was just waiting for him to die so he could have his room.
Yeah. Came off
like, are they living a very Bert and Ernie lifestyle, or are they just...
Well, Hunter just said it came off as a little gay, so yeah, they're living a Bert and Ernie lifestyle.
Well, but...
Now we're confusing Sesame Street and Muppets together.
Don't do that to me.
This is...
I love them all.
Yeah. Which character would Elmo play?
In the Christmas
Tale? Tiny Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Tim. Yeah,
oh,
that's easy.
I thought Ghost
We didn't
Christmas
read that far.
Present.
I have no idea who that is.
Hooey Tim? What? Yeah. So the knocker turns into his old dead partner's Marley's face, freaking Scrooge out quite a little bit. But again, to say that he was not startled or that his blood was not conscious of a terrible sensation to which it had been a stranger from infancy would be untrue. It's just... He's got these long sentences, and he throws those things in there, like "stranger upon infancy." It was very funny. So as we round out these last 50 pages, we get into the very famous scene where, of course, Marley comes back and warns Scrooge. I did think that there was a great image that he has, and you know, one of the things I love about A Christmas Carol is the fact that you see it done in so many different ways, and I like seeing how, you know, the ghosts are going to look, how Marley is going to look, but no, I don't think I've ever seen anything sort of capture when he sees Marley's face on the knocker. It is Marley with his glasses up on his head, which seems as like a very, you know, old man thing, and it's just a very vivid image to me as I go back and reread that part. So Marley comes and he's covered in chains, and you know he warns Scrooge, you know, these are the chains that I forged in life, and warns Scrooge that that is it. They are going to come to him unless he changes his ways. The dialogue between Marley and Scrooge, I think, is great. I mean, there are some things that you go back and read that are from, you know, the 19th century or something that you kind of like, this is sort of boring or structured poorly. I think this book is super entertaining.
Well, again, I feel like it was written in a way that, like, he wanted him, like, again, if it was episodic, that he wanted people to read more the next time.
Yeah.
Another,
I know it was a, because like it was a short segment that we read, but mm-hmm. I found it all very engaging.
Yeah.
And, but you're right, this conversation where he talks about the, like, you might be a bit of a digested potato.
Yeah.
The there's more gravy than grave about you. Yeah. I think it's just a great little pun.
Yeah. Hunter, you said it took you all of like 15 minutes to read these first 50 pages.
I was very
right?
surprised. And yeah. I was actually sort of dreading it because I remember the first time having to read A Christmas Carol, I think in ninth grade, I just did not enjoy it. But I do feel like going back and reading it today, I got a little more out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it is not a bad read. I mean, things like Scrooge says, Can you sit down? Asked Scrooge, looking doubtfully at him. I can. Do it then. But then he always gives these reasons. Scrooge asked a question because he didn't know whether a ghost could sit down. When he says that thing about there's more of gravy than the grave to you, Scrooge was not much in the habit of cracking jokes, nor did he feel in his heart by any means waggish. The truth is, he tried to be smart as a means of distracting his own attention. So even these things that, like, you look back and you're like, that's not something Scrooge would do. You know, Dickens gives you the reason why. One of my favorite things in all of this is that... Jacob says to him, you will, you know, your chance at redemption comes from ghosts, and you will be haunted by three ghosts. And Scrooge says, Scrooge's countenance fell almost as low as the ghosts had done. Is that the chance and hope you mentioned, Jacob? He demanded in a faltering voice, referring to the ghosts. It is. I think I'd rather not, said Scrooge. So he says to Jacob, no, you know what? No, thanks. I don't need the ghosts.
For me.
Yeah, but he's so freaked out at Jacob's warning that, of course, we know that the ghost is going to come. And we end off with this scene. And again, sometimes movie versions do this, sometimes they don't, of Marley retreating out the window. And as Scrooge looks out, he sees all these other ghostly people. And he actually recognizes one of the guys as somebody that couldn't give money to a woman whose child was starving. And it's like very freaky. And I think I've seen it in one version where he sort of goes out the window and there's all these like spooky ghosts.
I've never
out
seen
there.
It in a version. Yeah. So that was kind of weird reading it. Yeah. I was like, oh,
I think it was in the Jim Carrey, like, Polar Express version that they did. Like, captured his face. It's not that great. Sorry, Jim Carrey, I love you, but it wasn't.
I mean, I'm a big fan of A Carol Christmas, so.
What's A Carol Christmas?
Is that some Hallmark movie?
No.
It's not A Carol Burnett Christmas?
It's got Kathy Griffin in it.
Okay.
Just check it out. Unless you don't like Kathy Griffin, then.
That may be past.
Sorry, I'm finishing my last bite of figgy pudding because it's so good. But that takes us to the end of the first 50 pages. What did you guys think of those first 50 pages?
Well, I know on the last episode I was on, we were delving it or shelving it, so I had that in mind when I was reading. I know we're not doing that now, but I was like, delve in. I did stop myself from reading more, but I was like, I could just sit here and read this whole thing. I found it very enjoyable.
So you've never read it before?
No. Okay. No. But our good friend Brandon Duncan, he condensed it a little, but we sat and he read it out loud. It was really fun because he was like, you know, they used to read it out loud. And he sort of like made a one man version that we all like sat around and it was super fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And like, we had like a little intermission and nice. It felt like we were just like sitting around the campfire telling stories. It was great.
Well, and it's very much written that way too. It's like, it feels like something
lends itself to be read aloud.
Yep. Told out loud. So
when I told my coworkers we were doing this today, one of my coworkers, Madeline, was like, is Andy going to read it aloud and do different voices? She's like, that sounds like something Andy would do. And I was like, you never know.
All right, well, let's talk about A Christmas Carol real quick before we start. So this was something that my family, we always watched every Christmas Eve. My brother and I always wanted to watch it. I think my mom would have rather watched It's a Wonderful Life, but we always convinced them. I mean, it's like an hour and a half, too. It was like a really easy thing to watch on Christmas Eve is always when we watched it. It felt like Christmas could not come until we had watched Scrooge make his transformation into that. So part of the reason why I like to read the book beforehand. This was actually the first Muppet thing that they did after Jim Henson passed. So his son Brian took over a lot of the duties, and so Brian like voices Kermit, and I think that it came out pretty good. You know, Jim's touch is clearly still there. But had you guys ever watched it before?
Yeah, we owned it on VHS, and I remember the doorknob part being kind of freaky to me. But other than that, it was okay for me. Muppets weren't a big thing for me. I would much rather have watched Little Mermaid. But
Very Christmassy.
Christmas was always the boy with the tongue on the pole.
Christmas story.
So, I
realized, sort of as we were watching it, like, I remembered parts and I sort of remembered the songs, but I don't know that I have ever actually seen it all the way through. Like, because we got to, you know, pretty much the same point that we did in the book. And I'm like, I don't remember what the rest, like, obviously I know the story, but I was like, I don't remember what this looks like. I don't remember how they do it. So I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
There are so many versions of A Christmas Carol. I mean, right down to there's a Mickey Mouse version. I remember the Flintstones Christmas Carol. There are just, of course, you know, the more famous ones are the Alistair Sims version. There was a version with Patrick Stewart, which is always very popular. So, and then there was even the version that I was in high school was, I think it was the Alan Menken, he wrote Scrooge. The music, the that one, which the movie version had, I don't remember who played Scrooge now. Oh man, I remember Jane Krakowski was in it. And man, that's the only actor I can remember in this version of it. Wow, that's really bad. I remember Jane Krakowski was the Ghost of Christmas Past, but wow, I can't remember who the Scrooge was.
Not Billy Crystal, is it?
I don't even know this
Crystal version. Christmas Carol is Billy Crystal in.
I don't remember. There's a Bill Murray one called Scrooge.
Oh, that's the one where he's like has a lighter and somebody's like has the cigar on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's sort of funny as a kid.
That one's like
I've ever seen it.
Yeah, that one's like a funny version where he's, you know, he's like an uptight businessman who then has to learn. I think the Ghost of Christmas.
That's Carol Kane, right? She's the Ghost of Christmas.
Yeah, I think so. Past. Yeah, and I think the Ghost of Christmas Present is like a cab driver who can take him around to the various places. Yeah. Oh, podcast listeners, can you hear the tiny dogs across the hall barking? I hope you can. They're Christmas dogs.
Are they? What makes them Christmas dogs?
I don't know. I'm surprised Noodle isn't barking at them.
Who's the goddess that has the cats on the sleigh?
Noodle just barks.
Took a turn.
I don't know.
I'll think of it.
Okay. Oh, there's Noodle.
I think she's a winter goddess. It ties in.
Okay.
Right. Isn't that a Chronicles of Narnia character?
I mean, basically.
Noodle, you're in the podcast now. Hi. Good job. All right. Well, let's get into A Muppet Christmas. I'm sorry, The Muppet Christmas Carol. I always call it A Muppet Christmas Carol, but it is technically The Muppet Christmas Carol. We get to start with some opening credits and a nice shot over a model version of Victorian London. Mm-hmm. Scott and Hunter were upset with me because I fast-forwarded through the credits, thus skewing our half an hour viewing time, but... You know,
they were long credits.
They were. Remember the 90s where you still got credits before the movie actually started, and now
like just, a good pre-interlude.
Well, it doesn't
it's
happen.
A nice overture.
Overture, yes.
No. But so the movie begins with Scrooge walking through the streets of Victorian London. I mean, but before that, there's just Muppets everywhere. I mean, they're just panning through London, and there's mice Muppets and weird monster Muppets and singing. There's a turkey in a box. I mean,
and don't cabbage.
Forget the singing vegetables.
Yeah, yep.
The most important.
Was that little thing a cockroach?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. A little street urchin cockroach.
Yeah. So then we get Gonzo as Charles Dickens with Rizzo the Rat, Rizzo says, "You're not Charles Dickens," and she says, "Of course I am." But the story begins with Gonzo saying to us, "The Marleys were dead to begin with," so we get the same, you know, opening as the book. The big difference, of course, being the Marleys plural, which we come to learn later, there are two Marleys. We then get Scrooge coming in, and we get our first song. There goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Flint. It's a great song.
Should we sing
that?
No,
Disney, don't block us, Disney. I don't know if we're allowed to.
I mean, but that was such terrible.
They don't have my voice under copyright.
But you're singing their song.
Kind of.
I don't
She's
think
saying
it works
less
that
than
way.
6 seconds of it. It's fine.
Okay, we're good. Scrooge, I love that the song ends with them all singing to Scrooge's back as he's opening the door to his office, and then he turns around and they all just scatter to different places. So Scrooge, and he says, of course, "Humbug." So there we go. We get our first instance. Inside, we meet Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit and the troop of little rats that also work, which I always thought was funny. If Scrooge was such a tight fist, why he employs like 20 rats at the thing. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't pay them anything.
Well, I'm sure that rats don't get paid the same amount hourly as frogs.
Nope. Hashtag justice for rats.
I don't know. They were doing so much more riding.
They were. And of course, when Scrooge first enters, there's a little man who has back on his payments. And he says, "Please don't shout at me, Mr. Scrooge." And of course, Scrooge just picks him up and throws him out the door, leading the man to shout back, "Thank you for not shouting at me," which is it's very funny. So there's a lot of humor. I mean, it's the Muppets. You have to have humor.
I just want to know, does anybody love the Muppets here?
I would say I love the Muppets.
I like Miss Piggy.
I love the Muppets.
Reese is doing the most Italian hand gesture I can think of. I love the Muppets.
The Muppets.
What was your favorite Muppet movie?
I mean, I like Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah, we watched Treasure Island a lot.
That was a good one.
But I really liked The Muppet Show.
Yeah. There were some great guest stars on Muppet Show.
You can attest more to anyone. Sometimes if I get into black hole ruts of sadness, I'll just watch weird Muppet videos on YouTube with my favorite guest stars.
Those bloopers.
There's actually so good. Isn't it the Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which is a Jim Henson thing? Is it the bloopers of that one where, you know, they have the Muppet puppets? And they have the puppets and they're, you know, they're like filming and they'll be like, "Cut." And when they say "cut," they all just deflate.
Yes.
They just like hit the ground. Or they'll say, I mean, one of the things that people who were guests on The Muppets always said was so weird was that when they'd say, you know, "cut," or they'd take five, the actors would still talk with the Muppets to each other. So, that, you know, they'd be like, cut, and they'd be like, oh, okay, great. They'd be like, hey, did you catch that thing on TV last night? And they would, like, they wouldn't talk to each other with that. They would still use the puppets to talk to each other. And there were so many actors that were on that were like, that was just so tough to get used to. It's like, you know, you would start talking to the Muppets, and that was fine. So, I mean, this combines something that I really love is seeing the different ways that A Christmas Carol is sort of brought to life. And it's fun seeing it with recognizable characters. I like seeing it with these Muppets, and you know, I like seeing
that's
Kermit.
What's so fun about the Muppets is you know the Muppets as their own characters, but then you know them as the parts that they're playing.
Yeah.
Well, they're all sort of like tropes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when something is so recognizable, you can be like, oh, well, that's totally Kermit.
Right.
That's Miss Piggy.
Right,
like,
Miss Piggy is,
you know.
As Mrs. Cratchit later is lends some flair to that. Very funny. So we the rats, you know, they want time off, and I think that Scrooge is set up really well here. I think Michael Caine is a good Scrooge. I've heard some criticism of him,
really?
And he's not very good. There's one thing I can really hand it to Michael Caine. He does not phone this in. Different actors in this role with the Muppets, they would have been like, eh, whatever. It's just the Muppets. Nobody's gonna care. But he gives it his all, and I think he's great.
I think the best part about it is how straight he plays it, and deadly serious. And I think that's why it's so funny. And so
there's a depth there that I think some people would not be able to pull off.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
He's doing Shakespeare,
right.
And like very serious. And it's that's why it works, and that's why it's funny.
But not making fun of it.
That's what I mean. Like
that
there's no wink there. It's
right. Absolutely. And I think in his memoirs, he does talk about how he loved doing this, that he did have a blast doing it and playing it. One of the things I like about this movie is that in the beginning, they give Scrooge, you think of him as this, you know, like the book says, this tight-fisted, miserly man. But there are a couple things that make Scrooge smile. And of course, they're bad things. But he has that great line where, you know, he gives Kermit and the rat employees there the stack of eviction notices. And he's talking about Christmas and how people spend their money on frivolities. And he looks at Kermit and he smiles his evil smile. And he says, harvest time for the moneylenders. But you see him smile. Like, there's something that you see Scrooge find some mirth in, even if they're sort of mean things. You know, he does like that. And I like seeing that character out of him. It's nice. So, of course, then we get our usual lineup there. Fred appears. He has a wreath in hand. And they go back and forth about, you know, what Christmas has done. Then, of course, we get the two gentlemen coming for charities who are played by Beaker. Beaker walks through the door and you have to laugh. Like,
I think he's my favorite Muppet.
Yeah,
he's my favorite Muppet.
Said nothing yet.
Beaker is my favorite Muppet. Mostly because of the Danny Boy sketch from the Muppet Show. With him and Swedish Chef and Animal. But, like, Beaker's just the best.
Oh, man. When they walk through the door, I couldn't remember the name of the other guy that's always with Beaker. And Risa and Scott shouted at the same time. Scott shouted Bunsen, and Risa shouted Dr. Honeydew, and it is Beaker. I'm sorry, Bunsen Honeydew. So
you're both right.
It's both. They come asking for money. Fred asks, you know, Scrooge to come to dinner. He says no, and Fred exits out the door. Scrooge throws the moneylenders out, and as I pointed out to these guys as we were watching the movie, if you are watching the scene, watch closely because Beaker flips Scrooge the middle finger on his, you know, three or four fingers. But I remember being a kid and my dad pausing that, being like, wait, I think Beaker flips him the bird. And I was like, what? So he throws them out, and Cratchit, you know, asks for the time off thing. Scrooge gives it to him, and then we get song number two as Kermit and the rats close up. We get that's the one that we get.
Do Kermit voice.
After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas.
There you go,
now you're safe.
Now
it's
that was more than 6 seconds.
I'm sorry, don't sue me. It's a very nice song. It's very warm, very cozy. You know, they're closing up. They go outside. They go skating with some penguins.
What is the name of the penguin party?
Is this the annual penguin skating party?
Whose party is it?
I don't think it's a specific person.
I think it is.
I thought he just said the animal.
Well, it's
penguins
not in the book.
No, but I love it.
You're right.
I wish there were penguins in the book. This movie does, like, once or twice, it does use a little bit of stop motion, and I think there's one or two little computer-generated things when Kermit goes skating across. I think that's, and it doesn't look too bad, I have to be honest. It's an effect that kind of stands out, but, you know, it doesn't look so bad, all things considered. The song is very nice, and then it ends off, and we get Rizzo and Gonzo following or trying to follow Scrooge into his lodgings. And here is the part that Hunter mentioned earlier. Scrooge goes up to the doorknob, and there is Jacob Marley's face. Now, the Marley is two Marleys in this, Jacob and Robert Marley. And when I was in high school, I was on something called the quiz team, which sounds much dorkier than it probably was, although, you know, whatever. It was basically just like a trivia team. Like, you know, it's just...
Quiz Bowl.
Just, exactly. It was just that kind of thing. And we once went to a competition, and I wasn't on the main... You know, there were like four people on the team, and, you know, it was my friend Brandon and I were numbers like 5 and 6 on there. But we were competing in this other thing, and I remember once getting the question, you know, in A Christmas Carol, who is Ebenezer Scrooge's partner? And I buzzed in and I beat everybody to it, and I said, dead serious, Bob Marley. And everybody laughed at me, and I didn't realize that I'd said Bob Marley, and I was like, what? And my friend Brandon was like, Andy, Bob Marley? And I was like, oh no. But the Muppets just, they give you the wink. There it is. He's Robert Marley. It's Bob Marley.
I thought it was funny that you, Scott, picked up on that, because I never picked up on that until Andy pointed it out like last year.
Yeah, the minute he said Robert, I was like, oh, Bob Marley. Yeah.
I literally sing Bob Marley every day of my life. Every day.
And she didn't pick up on it.
Well, Robert Marley is a very different person.
Robert. So we get one of those. And the thing about the doorknob scene in the movie is, because he's got like a double butt chin, I mean, the Muppet face is just so round. It just appears out of the doorknob. And it is kind of freaky.
And he like it almost like he inflates. Yeah. It like looks, yeah, it's, yep, it's like a weird puppet balloon inflating.
Yep. It's very, very good. Very well done. Rizzo and Gonzo try to follow Scrooge inside of his lodgings, but he slams the door behind them. And we get this nice little bit about, you know, Gonzo keeps narrating the story, and Rizzo says, how do you know? And he says, you know, I'm the storyteller. I'm omniscient. And, you know, he keeps predicting things will happen. Like, and, you know, Scrooge was forced to turn on all the lamps to search his lodgings after he was freaked out by that. And then the light comes on. So Scrooge is pretty freaked out. He attacks his best dressing gown, as he says. Mm-hmm. You know, he thinks it's a person. And eventually he kind of calms down, and he sits down to eat his little meager meal of cheese and bread by the fire. And here is where the Marleys ascend from the staircase in there, covered in chains. I think the effect in this movie is really fun. They're sort of like loose, like translucent looking. And, you know, Waldorf and Statler are just great characters. They're the ones that always made fun of everybody else.
Always heckling.
Yep. And they have that line in the movie, yeah, you were always heckling me. And they say, it's nice to be heckling again. And the other one says, it's nice to be doing anything again. So they keep that. Yes. They keep that humor throughout. Then we get song number 3, which is just a great song. We're Marley and Marley. And
kind of sounds like the Heat Miser song.
Thank you, dear.
Oh, it kind of does.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, what was the words again?
I don't know.
I hated those movies as a kid.
You know what's funny? I'm going to go off on another tangent here. Is that the song from Moana, the big one. What's it called, Risa? The song
from Moana.
Far I'll Go. So when she's singing the verse part, I actually get a song from A Muppet Christmas Carol stuck in my head. And it's the... I don't know. What about the verse of that Moana song? Like, when I hum it back to myself...
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, all right. Cool.
And it's like, you know, it's like I get that stuck in my head, which then tangentially becomes the song from A Muppet Christmas Carol getting stuck in my head. Huh. Very strange. But that takes us through the first half hour of this. Once the Marleys leave, they leave Scrooge with the prediction that three ghosts will come. And actually, here's one thing that I think that the Muppet thing does a little better than the book is they say they will, you know, the first ghost, expect the first ghost tonight. And when I remember when I first sat down to read this book, Marley says to Scrooge, expect the first ghost tomorrow at 1, which confused me because I was like, oh, the ghosts come the day after Christmas? And then I realized, oh, it's Christmas Eve, and so tomorrow at 1 would be 1 a.m., which is technically on Christmas. But I just remember thinking, there's a strange scene in, I think we get to it on those first 50 pages, where Scrooge, he wakes up, he's convinced that he went to bed after 2, but it's not even midnight yet, or it's just after midnight, and then he stays up between the hours of midnight and 1, sort of anxiously listening to the bells ring. And I always wondered, why did he think he went to bed so late?
Well, it does say that it's dark before 3 o'clock, so yeah. Who knows?
Yeah,
and don't... Aren't the ghosts supposed to come like one every night? Because doesn't he have something at the end of the story about, oh, they did their magic all in one night. Like right, he thinks right, it's consecutive days
right.
when he's seeing them.
Yeah. That's always something that I think movie Bad versions writing. Of it. Yeah, the movie versions do. They sort of clean it up and make it all happen in one night. But there we go. So we've reached the end. So we've read A Christmas Carol and watched A Muppet Christmas Carol. Which would you rather continue on with, book or the movie? Let's start with Hunter.
I would rather continue with A Carol Christmas.
That was not an option on this multiple choice.
Is Kathy Griffin paying you to say that?
No, the Muppets movie.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because I just really don't like Charles Dickens. I'm sorry.
He doesn't like you either.
Well, he's dead.
As a doornail. As a
doornail. A coffin nail.
That must be understood, or nothing good from this episode can happen.
I mean, but it's so short, you could read it in, 2 hours maybe?
Yeah.
So,
if you don't nod off reading it, which I sometimes do, I do actually like to start the book on the night before, on the 23rd, because I do often find
that. Because you don't make it through.
Right, if I try to read it all in one sitting, I kind of nod off because, I'm an old man. Now, so whatever.
You're not an old man. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so Hunter would go on with the Muppets. What about you, Scott?
I think I love the Muppet Christmas Carol. I was actually really enjoying it, but I had so much fun reading it, and I love the cheeky narrator. So I think I would stick with the original. I mean, I want to say why not both, but if you make me pick, I'm gonna pick the original. And then in secret, watch Muppet Christmas Carol.
I mean, I've also already read it, so I don't need to read it.
So right. That's fair.
And Risa Rest, what about you?
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, why is that?
I love Muppets. I have no... I mean, there's nothing... I just really love the Muppets.
So what I'm hearing is A Carol Christmas, the original novel, and Muppet Treasure Island.
Muppet Treasure Island. Sorry.
If I have any other family members listening to this, they love the Muppet Christmas Carol too. And they'll be like, yeah, Reese wants to watch the Muppets.
Is it just that it's faster or more entertaining than it is to sit down with the books?
No, I love the aesthetics of it.
Yeah.
I like the gags.
I love the puppets.
All the gags are so good.
Or all the, Rizzo the Rat. Like, yeah. Rizzo wiping when...
When Gonzo... Rizzo wiping
what?
When Gonzo wipes...
No, when Gonzo wipes Rizzo on the...
On the window.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
It's great.
It is great.
And just his jelly beans. I just love the jelly beans.
I don't know if
we didn't get to the jelly beans.
No, yes, he did. He had a bag of jelly beans.
He was searching for his bag of jelly beans.
He's always, that's the whole movie, he searches for the damn jelly beans.
See, I've never seen it, I guess.
Oh, he loves his jelly beans.
As much as I love this book, and I do read it every Christmas, I would take The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I don't believe you. You read it every year.
But the Muppet Christmas Carol is... In a small little package is more entertaining than the book is. And one thing that none of you mentioned is the songs. I really love the songs in this movie.
The songs are really good.
And it's just, I love, the sassy narrator in this is great, and it combines a little bit of the dark and the funny. But I think that the Muppets do that same thing in their own way.
Gonzo does it better.
Gonzo. I mean, Gonzo literally says lines right from the book.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, that's what's so interesting about the Muppet Christmas Carol version is it is so true to the book.
It really is.
Like, when I think about, I can quote most lines from the movie.
And hence your
so that's when I look at the book, I'm like,
oh, I know this.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this.
Yep.
So to me, maybe that's part of it. Maybe I've just seen Muppet Christmas Carol too many times. So
yeah.
That's what I.
Yeah. So, as much as Risa doesn't believe me, I think if you gave me the DVD of The Muppet Christmas Carol and the book A Christmas Carol and said, pick one, sit down and do one right now, I would go with The Muppets. It
we didn't get to some of the other things that are great in the movie, but this has my favorite version of the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come in anything. It is a tall sort of gray. It almost looks like a statue come to life. This really tall sort of grayish figure in a robe. I think that the orchestrations through the movie are really good. I said to Scott as we were watching, the horns are so good. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, the doorknob was changing. I was like, does he have horns? Where are the horns? I don't know what you're talking about.
What kind of horns, Indy? And then just the music behind everything. It is fun. It is wonderful. But I am glad that you guys did enjoy sort of reading the first bits of the book as well. So I guess that's two Muppet Christmas Carols, one Carol Christmas / Muppet Christmas Carol, and one vote for the book from Scott.
Keeping it interesting.
Yeah.
You can read it for free.
I know, I couldn't. We couldn't all say Muppet Christmas Carol.
Man, I guess so.
I love Muppet Christmas Carol. It's so good.
It is really good. And so that's a delve in for the movie
for three of us. But wait, one thing, if we're going to talk about the movie... Okay.
And we did.
So, okay.
Let's get it started.
No, so if you watch it on TV, they cut out the scene with Scrooge and Belle and the song that goes, "The love is gone."
I hate that part.
The love is gone.
On the DVD version,
you can watch that version without it.
What? And that's always the one
I hate
choose.
That ghost part. Just cut that entire ghost.
They have a TV version on the DVD?
There is the... Well, no. It's the extended... It's the theatrical version and the extended version. The theatrical version, they cut that song. Okay. And it's not a... I mean, this song is fine. That's the one song I don't love. They reprise it.
It always gets stuck in my
end.
Head. They do reprise it.
Well, because, yeah,
end.
It's the last song. And it's so nice when the whole cast sings it. But just that Belle and Scrooge scene is sort of... But it does make for a funny cut in the movie because there's Belle and young Scrooge talking. And those are some of the actors that aren't that great, too. The young Scrooge. He's all right. He's not that great. And they're talking to each other. And then clearly this song is about to start. And then they just cut to, Gonzo and Rizzo, crying. Wait, what happened? What's going on? God. And she just walks off. But Mr. Fozziwig. Fozzie is as Fezziwig. Yeah. Fantastic, good stuff.
We didn't get that far.
No, there's just so much good stuff in this movie and in this version. And if you love the Muppets and you've never seen this, then you have to. It is great, and it is very true to the source material. And yeah. Michael Caine, I think, is one of the better Scrooges that I have seen. He was better than Jim Carrey's Scrooge in the weird Jim Carrey version.
That was weird. It was weird.
I did not enjoy
it. The candle, Ghost of Christmas Past.
Well, that is how the Ghost of Christmas Past is described in the book. The Ghost of Christmas Past is a figure that is, it has a candle snuffer, top to it, and is a flame, and the face in the flame keeps changing from a young person to an old person and back. So it was actually really true to the book. It just, I don't know, there's just something not right about it in that version.
Still going to pass on it?
Yep. So that's a shell for Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol for
Sorry,
all of
Jim.
Us. But, well, thank you guys for coming on and for coming over. And it was definitely a delve in on this figgy pudding. We polished off about half
of it. Yeah, I think that's...
No, that's over half.
That's what I'm taking away from this is delve in on the figgy pudding.
Figgy pudding. So Hunter hand whipped the cream for
we
us.
We did.
Great. If you have a chance to make some figgy pudding, you should.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it is delicious.
Yeah.
It does turn out good.
I sort of want to make some when we go home for Christmas.
There you go. Ugh.
I'm just really happy. So baby. We have a bundt pan, and I don't get to use it very often. But
what
I get
excuses a bundt pan.
Yep.
Love bundt pan.
Bundt.
A bundt.
Oh, it's a cake.
Great, okay. I fixed it.
Do you guys have anything you want to shout out or add to the Christmas Carol discussion? Noodle is jumping on Risa.
Oh, you are a good boy. Do you want to be part of it?
Do you want to shout out Noodle? Is that what I'm hearing?
I keep doing that. I always shout out Noodle.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I should shout out other things.
What would you like to shout out?
I would like to shout out...
Peace, goodwill towards all humans.
2020 is coming. Be ready.
Okay, that's more of an ominous warning than a shout out.
It's going to be a great year.
Oh, okay. That turned around. All right. Well, thank you all for
nobody else is going to shout out anything.
We just shout out whatever we want.
Yeah, you get to shout out to, you get to plug whatever you want just now.
Oh.
You should plug your incredible drag show.
I don't have a drag show.
But I loved it.
Well, that might be coming. We're supposed to drop another one on Christmas.
Oh my gosh, I'm so pumped!
Yeah, so we'll see if that happens.
Maybe we'll link to it on the Furthermore Instagram if Hunter is so kind as to give that to me. Scott, what do you want to shout out?
What do I want to shout out? Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah. Happy holidays.
Yes.
I hope you get to bake lots of nice treats for your family, or hopefully they bake things for you and you get to eat them. You don't have to put any work in.
Baking in the holidays, food in the holidays.
Last year we made a tiramisu. I wonder what we'll make this year.
Yeah. Risa, I joined in on the Ress family tradition of doing the Feast of Seven Fishes. So I will happily be on Christmas Eve eating seven different kinds of fish.
We're going to a Christmas Eve fish dinner as well.
Nice.
I'm having chicken strips.
I asked my mother if four pies was too many, and she said yes. So we're doing three pies.
Sneaking
a figgy pudding.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Sneaking a figgy pudding. The four pie. We're gonna do my grandmother's custard pie.
Ooh.
We're gonna do an apple cheddar pie because it's the best
traditional.
And I'm gonna do my bourbon ginger pecan pie.
Ooh,
that sounds good.
It's bourbon such pecan a treat. Oh, so
that sounds.
What was the fourth one that didn't make the cut?
What was the fourth one?
Trifecta.
Could be a try. I had an idea, but she was like, no. I was like, four pies,
didn't
too many.
Get that far,
too so. Many? And she was like, yes. There's not that many of us to eat them, so there just would have been too much pie floating around.
Well, we're shouting out fish and pie.
Fish and pie.
Fish and pie.
And I think 2020.
And 2020. And noodle and chicken strips and drag shows. Yeah.
So. And if you're listening to this, you survived the longest night of the year. So
is this the longest night of the year?
It is.
Tomorrow night is, I think.
Oh, tomorrow night?
Oh,
yeah, it won't be. This will be out at Christmas. Finally, we can get some light again. I can't wait. I hate when it gets dark. But thank you for listening to this episode of Furthermore. Thank you for joining us. And yeah, happy holidays from us here at Furthermore HQ in our apartment in New York City. Ooh. And thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Good night. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Follow along with 2020.